Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Quantum Spirituality on DreamVision7RadioNetwork.com, the show where past spiritual wisdom and present-day science merge to show us our future. Your host is Peter Canova, author of the 25-time award-winning book series, The First Souls Trilogy, available on Amazon, and Peter's website, PeterCanova.com. That's PeterCanova.com. This show is a live video, so if you're only listening and want to watch, go to Peter's website, PeterCanova.com. PeterCanova.com, where you can access his Facebook page to leave comments or questions, and click the D7RN link where you can receive a free gift video.
Hello, friends, followers, and listeners. I'm your host from Quantum Spirituality, Peter Canova. This is the show where the past and the present merge to unlock the mysteries of our future. I just want to remind our new listeners that you may want to go back and listen to the first three shows, because this show builds one episode on the other. It's kind of instructional in a way. And in the first three episodes in particular, we provide a framework to understand some of the issues that we speak of on quantum physics and on spirituality in the later episodes. So we have a great show lined up for you today. And without any further delay, please listen to it and enjoy. And join us every Tuesday, first Tuesday of every month, for Quantum Spirituality. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Quantum Spirituality on DreamVision7Radio.com. This is the show where the past and the present merge to tell us about our future. And I'm your host, Peter Canova. You know, you can watch the show online on your phone in cars with Bluetooth and through Amazon's Echo by asking Alexa, play DreamVision7Radio Network. If you have a question or comment, you can leave it on my website, petercanova.com, where you can also link to my Facebook page to leave comments. So please, if you have anything to say or questions to ask, please do that. Before we get into today's show, I want to remind everybody that the book Quantum Spirituality is out there. It became an instant Amazon bestseller. It's doing very well. And I've been going around the country talking a little bit, and the book has just gotten, I just get overwhelming response for the book, because people are saying, look, you know, I knew parts of this, but the book puts it all together from so many different viewpoints: quantum science, ancient spirituality, neurophysiology, psychology, and it gives a complete frame of reference dealing with all these major questions about life. What was the creation about? What's our role in the universe? What is the nature of reality, and how does it originate, and how is it maintained? So many things that help us on our spiritual journey, because the purpose of the book, really, at the end of the day, it's all about helping you have extraordinary experiences with higher consciousness. So it's just a really, really, really good tool. You can buy it on Amazon or any of the online booksellers. In fact, check out the reviews on Amazon. It's got like 90% 5- and 4-star reviews, and see what some of the people are saying about the book. So you can either purchase it off any of the online sellers or bookstores, or through my website, petercanova.com. That's PeterCanova.com. So please check it out if you have a chance. So today we're going to discuss the multiverse, or parallel universes. Now, I don't know, I think it was maybe about a year and a half ago, I covered this topic on a podcast, but it was mostly from a scientific standpoint. And I'm going to give a little recap today about what science theorizes about the multiverse or parallel universes. But I'm going to concentrate a little bit more today on the description by the ancient seers, the ancient mystics, on the subject of parallel universes, because in all honesty, I think it makes a lot more sense from that standpoint than a lot of the complicated theories that are being kicked around by quantum physicists and other people. So
I think this is a subject that is getting a lot of press these days. I mean, the multiverse is really kind of a buzzword, and there's many different possibilities of what the multiverse might be. And I think you're going to see that, at least from a scientific standpoint, there's a lot of diversity in thinking about what the multiverse may be. But in the ancient spiritual tradition, it's a pretty unified concept of how the whole idea of multiverse or parallel universes might work. So anyway, to start off with our little recap of scientific theories, one of the more understandable theories is called the bubble universe theory. And bubble universes are fairly easy to understand. So in this theory, there could have been other Big Bang events that were so far away from us that we can't conceive of the distances involved. And if we consider that our universe consists of galaxies created by a Big Bang expanding outward, then eventually this universe could encounter another universe that was created in much the same way as ours was. And but on the other hand, the bubble theory says maybe the distances involved are so vast that these multiverses might never interact. So either way, it doesn't really take a huge leap of imagination to see how bubble universes might exist. Now, another slightly more complicated theory is the multiverse from repeating universes. And this repeating universe idea is based on infinite space and time. So if it's all infinite, then eventually the arrangement of particles will repeat themselves. And in this theory, if you travel far enough, you'd encounter another Earth and eventually another you. Okay, don't ask me to explain the mechanics of all this today, because that's a whole complicated, different subject. We're going to just sort of stick to the Reader's Digest version of these theories. Now, another theory is brain worlds of parallel universes. Now, when we're talking about brain in this case, it's not this brain. It's B-R-A-N-E, and it's short for membrane. So according to this theory, the multiverse that we perceive isn't all there is. There are additional dimensions beyond the three spatial dimensions we perceive, plus time. And these other three dimensional brains could coexist in higher dimensional space. And so they act as sort of like parallel universes. This higher dimensional space is referred to as the bulk. So our universe would be a three-dimensional membrane inside another, floating inside the bulk, or floating inside another membrane. I didn't tell you guys this would be easy or intuitive, but this is what some people are theorizing. There's another theory, daughter universes. So quantum mechanics describes the universe in terms of probabilities. And in the quantum world, all possible outcomes of a choice or situation are not only can occur, but they do occur. So at every point where an event happens, it branches out and like a new universe of possibilities is created. That one is probably the hardest one to wrap your heads around. It can sort of drive you a little bit crazy if you really start thinking about it. There is also a mathematics involved, a mathematical universe, and mathematics is considered a tool to describe the parameters of the universe, but it's possible there could be a different mathematical structure to universes. So such a structure could describe a completely different sort of universe. What that's really saying is that if there are parallel universes, they don't necessarily obey the same type of physical laws that our universe would obey. So the thing about these theories is that they do, as you can see, have kind of a substantial variation to them. But if you take a look at the theories of the ancient spiritual masters, and I'm talking about from the Far East, such as the Hindu and the Buddhic traditions, to the Far West, Hellenic Greek philosophy and Gnosticism, there's a pretty common thread or idea about how everything came about and how the, you know, the universe that we know, the universe that we know and the ones that we don't know are created and sustained. And I'm particularly going to settle on the Gnostic version today because, as you know, this show kind of focuses on Gnosticism because the Gnostics really occupied a central both geographic and intellectual role in their day in the city of Alexandria, which was the intellectual capital of the Roman Empire. It was the Greek city that was founded by Alexander on the coast of Egypt, and it was a thriving metropolis, and currents of different spiritual and intellectual thought that went through there were incredible. It was the home of the great library, which unfortunately burnt down during a conflict, much to the great loss of the Western world. And also the Serapeum, which was another library, a lesser but still great library, which again was destroyed at that time by early Christians, another story. And you had evidence of Hindus, Zoroastrians, you had certainly Hellenic philosophy, Hermetic Egyptian traditions, and the Jewish Kabbalah all were spiritual influences that came through Alexandria and were adopted and synthesized by the Gnostics. So the Gnostics really kind of almost like represent the what I call the perennial, the universal spiritual tradition that dealt with many of the deeper questions of life. So getting into the Gnostic story itself, getting into like down to the nitty gritty, like most of the spiritual wisdom of those days, it started with a single consciousness. There was a single source or supreme consciousness. Now, you can call this God, the one, the monad. It's gone by many, many different names, but it doesn't matter because it's all the same source. But this source consciousness essentially was all that is. It's infinity. It's everything. And it projected out points of its consciousness, other points of its consciousness. And these other points of consciousness were entities. They were spiritual beings. Now, you can picture them in human form, but they certainly weren't in human form. They were more like these vast currents of intelligent spiritual energy. And if it helps you to think of them in Judeo-Christian terms, like angels or whatever, you can. The Gnostics call them aeons or eternities. But what they really were different archetypal aspects of the source itself. So they were given names like truth, justice, mercy, love, wisdom, which clearly are all fundamental human archetypes that were described by Plato, are described by Carl Jung, and they represented different aspects, perhaps we could say desires, but certainly different aspects of the source consciousness itself. And each of these projected beings occupied a dimension. Now, we probably really shouldn't think of the dimension as being a dimension of space, although you can. I mean, for purposes of understanding, I'm going to lay out something that sounds like a spatial representation. But in reality, what they were different levels of conscious frequency, different levels of consciousness, different levels of consciousness vibrating at different frequencies. And it was the differentiation between these frequencies that made for the different parallel dimensions. So now, sort of getting back to putting it in spatial terms, the easiest way to think of it is like the layers of an onion or concentric circles. Or you can take a look at the graphic in back of me where you start off with the source, which would be that little area that's off to my right. And it's projecting out different dimensions of existence in terms of, creating these other beings. And The difference was that at each level outward, each level away from the source, the consciousness became a little bit more diluted. Now, this whole idea of the limitation of consciousness is extremely important, because it's only limitation that differentiates these other source energies from the source energy itself. So if they all had the same consciousness or vibrational frequency as the source itself, there wouldn't be any individuality, there wouldn't be any individuation, they'd just all be part of the source. So in order to be conscious and yet still part of the source, emanated from the source, they had the source consciousness, but at slightly lower levels of frequency. So as each of these layers or dimensions projected outward, they occupied slightly less vibration or frequency than the dimension that came before. So it's like, think about making copies of a CD, okay? You make one copy of a CD, and that one has the most clear or fidelity to the original, source. With each successive copy of a copy, the source or the fidelity the fidelity gets diluted. So it's the same thing, the same general idea that is described in the Gnostic creation, where you had this whole realm of consciousness that they called heaven, or the pleroma, the fullness, which was the source and all these orbiting or surrounding points of consciousness in their own vibrational dimensions. So essentially, the description that the ancients gave of parallel universes were consciousness based. They were based on frequencies of vibration. And the reason why I really think that this is probably more accurate, as well as being simple to understand, is because it does tie in with some very, very basic principles of quantum physics. Now, Max Planck, who is really the father of quantum physics, really started the whole science back in the year 1900. And Max Planck started off by studying light, the light energy. And the thing that he came to a conclusion was, and I'm going to paraphrase him here because I can't remember the exact words. I don't know, my memory's not that good. I know a lot of things, but when it comes to like real details like that, I've got to like wing it a little bit. But essentially what Max said was that I can assure you that there is no such thing as matter. What we believe to be matter is brought to a vibration by an intelligent energy that lies behind all creation. So essentially, I mean, this is the father of modern quantum physics, okay? Not Swami Ramalama Ding Dong. And he's telling us the same thing that the Gnostics said thousands of years ago. And because this source that the Gnostics described was light energy. It was intelligent light energy that conveyed information outward to form the visible and invisible parallel dimensions that we experience or that we theorize about. And incidentally, that's sort of the nexus of how I got into quantum spirituality, because you see quantum and spirituality, it means quantum science and spiritual wisdom. And the connection there is that both of these disciplines concern themselves with the nature of light, matter, and energy. So it wasn't really too odd when I started off with spiritual studies and then jumped over to quantum physics to look for additional validations. And the interesting thing is that if you take a look at the prime equation of Max Planck, okay, Max Planck's version of E equals MC squared was E equals H. And what that meant was that there is a single energy that is a constant in creation. Now, he added another variation to that, which is E equals HF. And what that meant was that there are frequency variations or plays on this single source of energy. So you have one source of energy, but you can apply or it can emit different frequencies, which give rise to all the various differentiation we have in the universe, the difference between various, you know, subatomic particles, the difference between, you, me, and cats and dogs. I mean, it all has to do with frequency. So like our bodies are controlled by DNA, which determine our varying forms, the light energy had encoded intelligence in it. There's information in this light energy, and this information you can sort of think of as the DNA of the universe. So it starts with light energy, intelligent light energy that conveys itself through various means, but it becomes differentiated in terms of vibration. And it's this vibration or difference of frequencies that give rise to the various appearances that we have, not just in the physical world, but between the physical world and the non-physical world. Because there's plenty of stuff out there that's real that we don't see, like dark matter or dark energy. So anyway, that's the cosmic DNA and how it really worked. And, you know, this whole idea of how you can apply Max Planck's equation, E equals H and E equals HF, directly to the Gnostic creation story is one of the more fascinating parallels to me. Just to give you one other example so you get this, those of you who are musically oriented, you may have heard about variations on a theme. So you have a basic musical theme, but then you have different melodies that are applied and different notes or tones that are applied to that single source theme that create variations. It's the same theme, but with little twists, and that's called variation on a theme. So really what the entire creation is a variation on a theme using different frequencies to modify the basic source energy itself. Now, interestingly enough, you know, if you want to understand how humans fit into that picture, so we are part of this source energy. Now, unlike what we were told in Judeo-Christian traditions, that we were some kind of a separate creation from the thing that created us, the Gnostics and the ancient spiritual traditions strongly disagree with that. So, you know, to use an example of creation, the Geppetto created the puppet Pinocchio. Now, Pinocchio was a separate creation from Geppetto. Okay, that's a creation. But we weren't created. We were emanated. We were projected from the essence of the source energy itself out in diluted forms. So those spiritual beings I told you that were created at the beginning, we are part of that whole flow of conscious creation, albeit in a more diluted state. We're kind of maybe the lowest point of consciousness, which is consciousness or spiritual energy in material form. But human beings are most definitely part of this flow of creation. So if you think of the source as a power grid, and the source is the source of the power grid, and of course, in order for the power to be used, it goes through various relay stations and places where the energy is stepped down so that it can be usable for different purposes in, you know, our house and for commercial purposes and everything else. So you can think of us, in essence, as part of that chain of relay stations. We are part of those relay stations. We certainly don't have the power of the source energy itself because we exist in a diluted state of diluted or limited state of consciousness. But we nonetheless are part of everything that makes up the creation. And our thoughts do have effects. Our thoughts do affect things. That's where you get the sort of, you know, new agey spiritual thing of, you know, manifesting and thoughts or things. Doesn't always work the way they talk about it, but there definitely is a basis to that. So that is really what the ancient Gnostics and other spiritual traditions really spoke about as being parallel universes and the genesis of creation. So I want to look into this a little bit further from a spiritual standpoint, and we'll be doing that in a couple minutes.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova folds space and time to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canovas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Okay, we are back again with Quantum Spirituality, the show where the past and the present merge to tell us about our future. So I just want to remind new listeners that it'd really be a good idea to check out the old archives, because the knowledge of this show kind of builds one episode on the other, and things probably would make a lot more sense to you if you had some of the information from those earlier episodes under your belt. So I encourage all you new listeners to please go and check out the archives on Quantum Spirituality. That can be done on my website, petercanova.com. That's P-E-T-E-R-C-A-N-O-V-A.com. And incidentally, we're picking up about 6,000 new listeners a month. We're up over 500,000 right now, which is really great. Very satisfying to see so many people turning into the show and hopefully getting something out of it. So I'd like to approach this subject about the multiverse from a little bit of a different angle. And what I would like to do is break down the Gnostic creation story and show how at each stage it corresponds to a geometry. Now, you could call it sacred geometry or not, but it can be expressed in a geometric pattern leading to the creation of the physical universe, and speculation, current scientific speculation, on what the shape of the universe is. This whole question of the shape of the universe is a really interesting one. I mean, if we could answer that question, if we knew that, it would tell us a whole lot about the nature of reality and our possible origins. Space appears, our universe appears to be flat, but that's only because we can't see to the edges of the universe. So we're not really seeing the whole picture. The universe could contain any number of shapes. And one of the ones that makes a lot of sense is that the universe is in the shape of a torus. Now, don't worry, I'm going to explain what a torus is in a few minutes. But so we're going to take each stage of the Gnostic creation story and I'll give you a visual on it about how it corresponds to a geometric evolution from a single point to the three-dimensional world that we perceive as our reality. So this diagram gives us a simplistic breakdown of the whole Gnostic vision of creation. And it starts off in the unknowable, unmanifest plane of the source consciousness. And it was said that the source consciousness really had two aspects, a father and mother, they called it, a male and a female aspect, or mind and thought. And this also could be characterized in terms of the father being contemplation, or mind being contemplation, and the thought aspect being movement, activation, I guess you could say, of the mind into the movement of thought. And that led to a manifest existence, which was, you could say, that's God. The immanent God, it would be described in spiritual terms or religious terms. So there was the unknowable and the knowable God, or the God that could be detected or present. And that was called the manifest God. And that is the Son. So the Father and the Mother end up producing the Son. Now, you'll probably notice that this has some echoes of the Christian, the triune God in Christianity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which incidentally, in the early days, even in the Christian church, the Holy Spirit was actually feminine in nature. But it doesn't really matter, male or female. These are just trying to assign characteristics that are a little bit different, but all coming from the same entity. So the Son, basically the Son then was the ordering principle of the universe. The Son had a lot to do with, or this, the force that we would call the Son, let's say, had a lot to do with the ordering and principle of the universe. The ancient Greeks called it the Logos. And this ordering led to the creation of what we call the heavenly plane, or the archetypal plane, and eons. Eons were the Greek word aeon means eternity. So these eternities were really archetypal beings that were projections from the mind of the One. They were aspects or attributes of the actual One. And they were given names like truth, justice, mercy, love, and so forth. Clearly, very identifiable archetypes that passed even down to the level of physical existence were identified by people like Carl Jung and by Plato and so forth. But at this stage, you're seeing individual points of consciousness. Now, even though they chose to use that consciousness to remain in harmony with the One, they did have a sense of themselves as individuals with individual, missions to fulfill, or in individual attributes to bring to the creation. And so this whole scheme of things would have seen the archetypes or the eons revolving around the unmanifest, or the you call it God, I'm going to just say the source, revolving around the source. And that collectively, the source and the beings revolving around the source, would have been called the heavenly plane. The Gnostics called it the Pleroma, which is in Greek, it means the fullness, but it's the same thing that Christians would have called heaven. So we have the source, and then you have the eons that revolve around the source itself, and collectively that's called the heaven, or the Pleroma. Now, the story of Sophia, which we've covered several times in this podcast, essentially just to refresh memories, Sophia was one of these eons, or one of these eternal beings. And she decided to create on her own, and she plunges out of heaven and into this area called chaos, which is full of virtual particles. Now, they didn't say virtual particles back then, but they did say proto-matter, which is an exact description of virtual particles. In other words, it was matter and potential, matter that had not yet come into being. But the mixture of her high energy with these virtual particles was described in the text as activating them and actually morphing into actual particles or actual matter, which is their story of how matter was created. So essentially, there was this was an area for potential new realities, and Sophia went in and she activated this, and it became something that was of a different substance than the spiritual or energetic realm of the Pleroma or heaven from which she came. And it had some real consequences that led to the formation of the material world and what was described in the Bible and many other spiritual sources as the fall. From a higher source. Okay, so now let's take that basic Gnostic creation story and put it in the context of geometry or geometric creation of the multiverse of the universe. So let's start with the far left in this diagram. You start off with the source or God, however you want to term it, it doesn't really matter, all the same thing. But the source is a singularity. It's a zero point. It's infinite. It has no depth, no dimension, no mass, or anything else. And this was described by the Gnostics as being the father or mind, and it was assigned a masculine quality. But another aspect of the source was thought. So the mind produced a thought, and the thought was called the mother. And that was a movement from a single point to another point, from the movement of mind to thought. And that can be depicted as a geometric line moving from one point to another, as you see here. And of course, the mother was given feminine characteristics or assigned feminine characteristics. So here you have at the beginning, mind moving to thought, which is a single line. Now, the next image over to the right, if you take that single line from the zero point or the center point, which is the ultimate source, and you rotate that line, you form a circle. Now, the circle is actually a plane. It actually has more dimensions to it. And that plane is what we saw in the previous slide as being the sun. And that is actually the first time we see the source moving from its unfathomable state to a state where it can be sensed or detected as a force. Now, moving again to the right, if you take that circle, that plane, and you rotate it from the center point, it forms a sphere. And that sphere would be the aeons or the archetypes in the previous diagram that you saw, the individual beings, the individual projections of the one, the ones that have the name like truth, justice, mercy, wisdom, love, and so forth. So now we move from a sphere, and we had that diagram you saw previously where the source would be in the center and the eons or the spiritual beings that were projections of the source's mind would be revolving around the source, revolving in harmony with the source. Okay, now here's where we get to the point where it got a little tricky and the whole idea of Sophia enters in. And this is, I guess you could call this one rotation too far, because if you take that sphere and you rotate it again, always from the center point, the sphere would actually form a torus. Now, a torus is a donut-shaped geometric shape, which I'll describe to you in detail in another animated graphic in a minute. The torus, the properties of the torus actually are unique from all the other geometry that appeared before it, because a torus kind of is a closed loop. It works in on it. It works in on itself. And a number of scientists and people are speculating that the universe has a torus shape to it. And I'll tell you about why that is in just a moment. But, you know, first we might want to look at this animation, because it'll help make the whole concept of a torus more fathomable to you. I guess at this point, I should ask, do you feel like you're a little bit crazy now? Because if you do, then, well, you kind of know how I feel when I look into this stuff and put these shows together, because this is some dense counterintuitive stuff. But I think it's very important. for people to have a grasp of this, because it leads to other really pertinent questions about existence and, you know, what our possible reality might be. So let's forge on in terms of our understanding, and let's take a look at what the actual nature of a torus is. Okay, here is an animated version of a torus, and as you can see, it has that donut shape to it. What makes a torus unique is that void, almost like a black hole singularity in the middle of it, so that the universal energies that moved all these geometric shapes into creation with the various energy fields and virtual particles and everything else, what happens to them now is that they become kind of self-contained in a closed loop. So you can see the characteristics of a torus, where all that energy is going in at the top, almost being sucked in like a black hole, and comes out at the bottom like a white hole. And what that really means is that this shape is cut off. The energies are sort of segregated from the other fields around it. And see, this is exactly how they described the actions of Sophia. When she plunged her high energy into chaos and activated these new particles that were called matter, she created something different from the whole energetic realm or energetic plane from which she came. And the Gnostic text saying they couldn't coexist. So this developing realm of matter was violently projected apart and exploded into some kind of a new dimension. And you know that that is an ancient description of the Big Bang, clearly. And what happens is, again, you look at this closed loop pattern here. So this is like a segregated universe that we're talking about. And, you know, it's a very neat description of what could have happened geometrically with the whole action of Sophia. But why do scientists or some other people feel that this might be the shape of our universe? Well, let's talk about that for a second, because we don't really know what the shape of the universe is, okay? We can't really see the boundaries, so we don't know what it is. This is a theory, but like all theories, it answers certain facts quite nicely. So in our universe, we know that our universe is expanding, but at the same time, it's cohering because we have galaxies that stay together. Otherwise, we would be, you know, the Earth wouldn't exist, we'd be ripped apart. So there's like this push-pull force that's going on. And the expansion force is said to be dark energy, energy that we can't see that is propelling the universe for, you know, expanding the universe into perhaps into infinity, we don't know. But what's causing everything to cohere into galaxy-like formations, to cluster into galaxies, is what's known as dark matter. Again, it's a type of matter that we don't see. It's not visible matter. It's matter of a different variety that is not available to the light spectrum that we detect. So it accounts very nicely for you know, the whole idea of dark matter and dark energy, because if you look at the top, that would be the dark matter that is contracting inward. And you look at the bottom of this loop where the energy is coming out, that would be the expansion. That would be the dark energy. So, you know, here we see a pretty good graphic representation of how that might work. The other thing is, you see everything here is unidirectional. In other words, it's going in the top and it's coming out the bottom. It just loops around. And that would really account for why we perceive time in one direction from present going, you know, going forward. It also fits into a lot of ancient beliefs and even modern beliefs that this is not the first universe, that the universe essentially goes through a pattern of creation and destruction and new universes. So really, you know, you see the cycling going on here the universal energy being sort of sucked into the top here and reemerging down the bottom. And this could be another potential explanation for, well, for instance, the Hindu Yugas, the Kali Yuga, and so on, which are the different ages of destruction and then creation and so forth and so on. So, you know, again, I'm not presenting to this to anybody as a done deal that this is how it is, but it certainly has a lot of merit to it insofar as how our universe just may be shaped and may operate. And I think the other thing I would say is it's very interesting to me that why is there so much dead matter in our universe? I mean, we appear to be the only life so far that we know, but there's comets, there's asteroids, there's moons, there's stars, there's suns, there's planets, and yet amongst all these celestial bodies, we don't really see much evidence of life on any of these other bodies. So why is there so much, you know, useless or dead matter out there? Now, it may not be useless or dead. It may be working towards a plan that we don't know. You know, the Gnostics said that the creation of Earth and the physical life on Earth was a unique event, that it really, they don't presuppose that there's life elsewhere in the galaxy. And we don't know that either. They may not be. Just because there's a lot of bodies out there, celestial bodies out there, doesn't mean, you know, that there's other life out there. It might be, it might not be. Let's not take it for granted that just because numerically there's a lot of volume out there, that means that there's life out there. So if the Gnostics were correct, this is kind of a special circumstance. And the other bodies were created out there as a kind of, I'm not going to say mistake, but they were part of the experiment that led from energy to matter, that eventually led to life on Earth, and that so-called dead matter out there plays its role, which I'm not going to get into now because that's a whole other story. But anyway, this is the possibility for what the actual shape of the universe is, and it correlates very nicely at each stage, geometrically, with the Gnostic creation story.
Okay, it's time for a short commercial break. Don't go away. We'll be back soon with our final segment of Quantum Spirituality.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova folds space and time to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
Darkest hours to brightest moments, transformation from despair to happiness, and chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Okay, we're back for our final segment of Quantum Spirituality. And this is going to be a really short segment because I kind of ran over my allotted time on the first two segments. So I didn't really want to break up some of the thoughts. Does that make me a bad person?
Nobody asked you your opinion.
What's wrong with you?
Now my producer Bob might think so. But I think some of you may say, well, you know, some of this stuff is a little abstract. And granted, you know, it's hard to grasp. So what good is it for me? What good does it do me? Well, in and of itself, you might be right. But here's the thing. Life and understanding what it's all about is about putting pieces of a puzzle together. And they are individual pieces. And you get those individual pieces from different disciplines. It could be astronomy, quantum physics, geometry, mathematics, ancient spiritual traditions, psychology. All these things really weigh in. And the way I tend to judge theories or gravitate towards theories and feel the truth of them is by having that great variety of information from all those disciplines. And when they seem to form patterns or point to the same thing, then I begin to believe that I'm on to something. So that's why I've always encouraged people, especially new listeners, to go back and listen to the older programs, because it helps build up the knowledge base and helps you connect those dots and put those pieces of the puzzle together. And that's actually what my whole body of work does. Quantum Spirituality, the book, this podcast, my fictional series, The First Souls Trilogy, all those things, all those little bits of information that you get from those sources will really help you connect your own dots and put things together. And then you start to see patterns that form. And the end goal really is this. The end goal is to get beyond the book learning, to get beyond the rote facts, to get beyond people like me, and just accumulate that knowledge to the point where it helps you have a breakthrough, to have your own intuitive experience with higher consciousness. That's what it's really all about. You can read, see videos about the subject all you want, but it really doesn't do any good unless at the end of the day, you put that into practice and you actually experience information coming from higher levels of consciousness, which is very transformative for your life in all aspects of your life. I know it has been for me. I mean, it completely changed my course in life for the better. And I hope it does the same for all of you. So if any of you really have any questions, or you know, you feel that any one part of any of these presentations gets a little abstract for you, think about it in that regard, because I know at the end of the day, when you put two and two together, and you get four, when you're talking about things like quantum physics as analogs, that's a real breakthrough. And, you know, it's an exciting kind of thing. And I know it will really help you out. So anyway, until next time, I'm Peter Canova. This is Quantum Spirituality. We're on every Tuesday from 7 to 10 on both Pacific and East Coast times, both mornings and afternoons. And please tune in for our next show. And until then, keep your eyes and keep your ears open and keep your mind open, most importantly of all. See you next time on Quantum Spirituality.
This ends today's segment of Quantum Spirituality, the show where the past and present merge to show us our future. Join us the first Tuesday of each month for cutting-edge information and informative new episodes. This show will be archived on the Quantum Spirituality Dream Vision 7 Radio Network website page, also accessible at petercanova.com. That's PETERCANOVA.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.